can rewind it. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. We gon' take it back to the future, over the top. E.T. Gremlins, RoboCop. Bring it back a couple minutes to when I was 10. Dusting off my favorite movies, gonna watch them again. Then VHS, yeah, we'll give it a crack. Do they hold up? Are they totally whack? Brock and Alexa, give it a play. Tell you to rewind it, throw it away.
Hello and welcome to You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. This is the show where we watch our favorite movies from our childhood. Then we discuss, dissect, and decide, do we still like them, and would we rewind them and watch them again? I'm Alexa.
I am Brock.
And today we have...
1986, rated PG-13, The Golden Child.
Kind of surprised us was 86.
Too early? Too late?
A little earlier than I thought.
I thought it'd be earlier, too. The budget for this movie is $25 million, and the original U.S. gross was $80
million. Made lots of money.
Yeah. Synopsis?
Sure.
A private detective specializing in missing children is charged with the task of finding a special child who dark forces want to eliminate.
So sad.
It is.
Cute kid. How old is he supposed to be?
Who?
The kid. The golden child.
Oh, the golden child?
Mm-hmm.
Played by J.L. Reet.
Okay.
What do you think the J stands for?
Jerry.
About Jasmine.
Oh, really?
That's a girl.
Oh, really? That was a girl?
That was my big bomb.
Wow.
So, this is the only movie Jasmine Reet, I'm assuming it's Reet, was in.
Huh. So interesting.
Yeah. Did not know it was a woman until our girl, until after the movie was over.
I had no idea.
So, in the movie, you have the person trying to rescue the golden child.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler Jarrell, played by Eddie Murphy. So, I gotta ask, were you an Eddie Murphy fan when you were a kid?
I probably would say that I was, but honestly, a lot of his movies I didn't get to see, because they were R.
That's kind of what I figured. My parents were a little more lenient,
mm-hmm.
So I got to see his stand-up. We actually had a going on vacation. Dad bought a couple Eddie Murphy tapes.
Oh, wow.
So we listened to that repeatedly.
Oh, there was no way that was happening.
So, of course, Eddie Murphy was in Harlem Nights, Beverly Hills Cop, 48 Hours, Coming to America, Shrek. He's been in everything. He's Eddie Murphy. Looking back on him now, do you find him funnier now as someone older? Can you appreciate his humor more?
Maybe, but I remembered this movie being funny and thinking he was funny in it.
Yeah.
So, I think I did appreciate him then, but yeah, he is funny.
He is funny.
His delivery is very unique.
Well, and this is in the time where I felt like Eddie Murphy could do no wrong. It seemed like every movie he was in was just, you know, a hit. Beverly Hills Cop, 48 Hours, Golden Child.
He was the golden child.
He was the golden child. Also in this movie, the bad guy, Sardo Numspa.
What a weird name.
I'm assuming that's like Tibetan or someone from Nepal, but the dude is white and British, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, why didn't they pick someone not white and British?
I thought that was odd.
Yeah.
Plus, he dresses like he's in medieval, you know, he's a vampire in the 1500s or something. I don't get it.
Strange. Very strange.
So that's played by Charles Dance, who's in tons of stuff I haven't seen. Like Imitation Game and a bunch of them. But he's best known for Game of Thrones, which I've also never seen.
Me either.
It's because my wife's too cheap to pay for HBO.
I don't think I would like it. I like the game.
I bet our friend Jeff would. I think there's like dragons Thrones. And fairies in it, which he loves.
Yeah, for sure.
So also, the female in this movie, the love interest, the kind of badass.
Yeah, definitely.
Her name in the movie is Ki Nang, played by Charlotte Lewis. She looks like a Charlotte Lewis. No. Again, not much I had seen that she's been in. She was in a movie called Men of War. Never really heard of that one. She was in Storyville. Never saw it, but heard of it.
Oh, okay.
Loved her in this movie. Because, again, she was a badass.
Definitely.
So when this movie was filmed, how old do you think she was?
25.
18.
Oh, really?
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. She doesn't look 18.
No. But
of course, she is dressed in that aging 80s attire.
It just
ages you.
Well, it just seems like Charlotte Lewis at 18 looks like a young woman. Whereas Brock at 18 looked like a little boy, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't look near as mature as she did.
Agreed.
So also in this movie, playing the old man, who turns out to be Keenang's father, is Victor Wong, who was in Tremors, Big Trouble in Little China, Prince of Darkness, The Last Emperor.
He was funny.
Love that guy. Mm-hmm. Absolute love that guy. Totally forgot about where Eddie Murphy sees him on the streets in, I guess it was Kathmandu or somewhere in Nepal. And basically the guy takes $100 for a necklace that Eddie didn't want. It was so funny. So funny. And then he picks him up, and of course the guy's not crippled. He's got legs. Acting like he didn't have legs.
Yeah.
Which Eddie Murphy did.
Yeah, that was funny.
In Trading Places. So also, you got the bad guy, I'm going to say, besides Sardo Numspa. One of Sardo's bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's name is Till. Kind of the bigger, not the monkey face guy, but the bigger guy. Played by Randall Tex Cobb. I don't know why. And I even told you when I saw him. I said, that's Randall Tex Cobb.
He looks like John C. Reilly to me.
Kind of. I mean, he's much older.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he would be older. Yeah, for sure.
But I know this man, for whatever reason, I've always followed him because he was a boxer. He was actually a kickboxer who went into boxing, who went into acting. And the guy's been in, you know, some movies like Liar Liar, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Raising Arizona, Fletch Lives, Digstown, Naked Gun 33 and a Third. He's in a ton of movies. But the thing that's cool is he fought for the WBC title against Larry Holmes, got destroyed. But he had a scheduled fight with Muhammad Ali. But one of his friends, who was a boxing reporter, got in a bar fight. Tex Cobb tried to stand up for him and got his arm broke. Trevor Burbick ended up taking the fight with Ali and beat Ali.
So, wow.
Yeah. I mean, really cool with this Tex Cobb. What I didn't know was he was raised in the town where we met in college. What? And he went to a different college in the same town that's just down the road from our college. He's from Abilene, Texas. Or he was raised in Abilene.
Wow.
But for whatever reason, love the guy. Always loved him. And then the last character I gotta mention, Dr. Hong, played by James Hong.
Very familiar.
Oh gosh, yeah. So he has 426 acting credits. A lot of more voice credits. Is the first game we bought for the Xbox One, Diablo 3. He does voices in the game. But he's also in Kung Fu Panda, Mulan, Big Trouble in Little China, Airplane. You see the guy, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen the guy a million times. So, what did you remember from this movie?
Not a lot.
No.
Not a lot at all. That there was a kid, a kidnapped kid.
Yeah, that's about it.
When they kidnap the kid, it's almost like they use the thing from the crane game to get him. It's like, pick him up.
Because they can't touch him. They're trying to keep distance.
Didn't it look like the crane game, though? He's just like, the thing opened, slid over him, and then he came up in there.
So, the golden child has the ability to resurrect things, people, animals, bugs, whatever. But he also has a way to turn people if he can touch them. So when he touches the bad guys, they end up turning on their
cohorts. It's way more power than I remembered.
Yeah.
It was way more sci-fi than I thought.
I'd say way more fantasy.
Would you call that sci-fi? Okay, fantasy. Okay. Way more that than what I remembered.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a fantasy movie. It's not believable. I mean, it's going to have some, you know, I mean, no offense, but Sardo Numspa is a freaking demon. So he can kind of teleport around. He can just do whatever he wants. So pretty tough adversary to go against.
Something that stuck out to me was the music was really bad. It did not fit.
I agree with you.
It might have fit 1986 movies in general, but I mean, when they're traveling in Tibet, it should be playing something that's not like 80s techno. You know? It kind of reminded me of the generic Fletch movie. It's like they didn't use any of their budget to get real music. It was all...
They had Putting on the Ritz.
Really
the
bad. They soundtrack. Had... Okay, they had Best Man in the World. I don't know how that goes, but I wrote it down. Like, the best man in the world. I don't know. That's not probably not it, but... Yeah, it was bad. And it was bad throughout the movie. Started bad, the middle was bad, the ending music was bad. No real, like, theme either. Nothing cool.
No.
No one could write, you know, they didn't contact Kenny Loggins or anybody to write a Golden Child song.
No.
I know.
They're too busy writing songs for Rocky Boo. IV and Karate Kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, once the Golden Child is kidnapped, the basic premise... Or the basic storyline of this movie really is Eddie's the chosen one. And him and this lady, Kineng, are going to travel to Tibet to get the dagger that comes from the other world. There's no way I'm going to pronounce what the heck that dagger was called.
I don't remember.
A lot of names like that. And obviously I'm not...
Yeah, a lot of names.
Haven't spent a lot of time in Tibet or Nepal. So half those names were really hard to remember.
They didn't need to be either.
But, you know, he gets the dagger, then he brings it back, boom. Most of this movie is really him chasing after the Golden Child, right?
Or him trying to be convinced to chase after the Golden Child.
Very true.
I did love the beginning when he goes on that TV show and...
That was... I don't remember that part at all,
really,
by the way.
Really funny in that part.
Did not remember that at all. So funny.
Probably didn't. I guess that's how she finds him. So I was going to say, probably didn't need to be there, but I'm glad it was, because it was funny.
There was a few times in this movie, and that was one for me, where I'm like, okay, that's unnecessary. 20 minutes later, I'm like, oh, no, it's not. I thought when Eddie, I can't call him Eddie.
Chandler.
So I thought when Chandler and Kineng, when they had that kind of romantic, I didn't remember them there being a romantic angle to the movie at all. So when he's kind of hitting on her and they're kind of fun, I'm like, this is not needed. Yeah, it's central to a, you know, part of the storyline. But I had to wait. So totally agree with you. When I saw the TV show, I'm like, so we're just being introduced to Eddie, right? That's all. No, that's how she sees him and knows to contact him. But yeah, she goes on the show and it's one of these local TV shows where the guy's like asking questions like, so, yeah, you're finding missing children. How'd you get in that field? And as soon as Eddie's answering, he's on to the next question.
Stupid questions.
Eddie's just like, all right, done.
Instead of focusing on the kids, just everything but, and he's getting frustrated.
And Eddie pulls it off, though. He's just like, I'm done. Now you put the camera on me.
Yeah, talk to the tortoise lady after I'm done.
The tortoise lady.
Yeah.
So, early in the movie, Eddie does go see the... I called her the snake woman.
Oh, yeah, the dragon.
Yeah, her ancestors were raped by a dragon. That happened a lot where you come from?
Something strange.
No, that's what he said. He said one of her ancestors was raped, but I love that line. Does that happen a lot where you come from?
Yeah, humor was put in weird spots sometimes.
Well, okay, how do you accept, hey, Alexa, you're the chosen one, so here's what you're going to do is risk everything you have to save a child. You're going to fight demons, which I'm still not sure. Was he Satan? Was he talking to Satan at that one point?
He was working for Satan. He's a demon working for Satan, is what I think.
Wow. If you're going to be a bad guy, that's a good guy to have on your side.
Yeah, I guess so. That part was really crazy when he's in hell or wherever he is.
Wherever the heck that was.
And he's... They, like... he's far away. Like, they zoom out to where all you can see is fire and all that stuff.
That was... And actually, it didn't look horrible. Like, the effects of hell. I was going to say it looked
horrible.
I didn't think it looked horrible. I thought it could have looked much worse. So, Eddie is basically... Once they find out, they have to get the dagger to exchange, you know, the child for the dagger. Which, of course, Brother Nipsey is actually going to... is going to... basically use the dagger to kill the child. But when they go to Tibet, that was awesome. And I keep saying Tibet. It might have been, I mean, was it Tibet?
Yeah, and you're right. That's where the movie got good.
It starts to take off. Now, like, here's the crazy thing.
It was really, like, that was the best part of the movie, Tibet.
There was a second film crew filming in Nepal.
Wow.
None of the actors were, though.
Oh.
Their scenes were filmed at Mammoth Mountain Ski Resort in California.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. That's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Lame.
Very lame. So this movie is filmed in California, Nepal. And originally, this was supposed to be a serious adventure drama with Mel Gibson as the lead.
Huh.
But once he turned it down and Murphy accepted the role, it was rewritten as a partial comedy. And the original writer was not... he felt like they kind of torched this movie because they tried to make it more of an Eddie Murphy vehicle instead of his story.
Yeah, they did.
It wasn't close to his novelization. It was more of Eddie.
I could see that. But I could totally see that.
Eddie said that it wasn't that great. I mean, Eddie talked bad about this movie when he was out, you know, stumping for Coming to America. He actually kind of downplayed this movie and said that it wasn't close to the original script. The original script was better. But I don't see... I do now. Back then, I would have struggled with Eddie in an all-serious role. That's not how I knew him.
Right.
Plus, I mean, the adventure in this is great. The fantasy is great. The comedy is what makes this movie.
Yeah.
For me.
He has some really good lines, I think. Some really good parts. In the beginning, you know, he is chasing a bad guy. They're chasing him. I can't remember. And he ends up at somebody's backyard, like, barbecue.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
And you even remembered the line.
Yeah. Just want a chip. Just want a chip. Because he's got a gun.
And I just want some chips.
Chips.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. There's
and no one can eat just one chip.
I can.
You can eat, like, half a donut. You can eat half a candy bar. That's not normal. But I don't think you can eat one chip.
No, but I loved it. Because they're all like, he's like, I just want a chip.
Yeah.
Just want chips.
You just wanted chips.
I love that.
That part was funny.
That was hilarious. So this was rated PG-13. This was the first Eddie movie Eddie movie Murphy. This is the first Eddie Murphy movie to get rated PG-13, which, because it didn't have a lot of F words. His next PG-13 movie he did was 10 years later. The Nutty Professor.
Was he like, I don't want any more PG-13.
Well, again, he had said the original script was so much better. After this movie, Eddie wrote his next five movies.
Oh, wow.
So I think he took a kind of a cue from this. Is like, okay, if you're not happy, you do it.
I do feel sorry for people who put their heart and soul into a script and then they get excited and then their script is so different.
That's not what I wrote.
Yeah, it turns out different. It's like, man, that would suck.
There was no child in this movie at all. This was an Italian mob movie. Why is it called The Golden Child?
And I can see why it's PG-13. I thought it was pretty gross, the death of Tommy Tong.
Okay, yes.
That was kind of nasty.
It was very nasty. And there is still quite a bit of cussing in this movie.
Yeah, you're right.
But
especially from that little guy. From the girl's dad. He does a lot of the cussing in the movie. And it was gross. The bloody oatmeal was nasty.
Oh, God, that was gross. And I still don't fully understand the bloody oatmeal.
If he tasted the blood, then he was like, lost his power or something.
All right.
So I don't know what kind of changes they made because a lot of it was super confusing.
Well, it is. I think you could actually watch this movie again and probably catch on more to the story, at least a lot quicker than you would. Because it is confusing. There's so much going on, so much happening. And there's so many names.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
These are not Mike Smith.
Names of people, places, and items that are so different.
Yes.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to follow.
So, we're in Nepal. Eddie, they finally get to that, I'm going to say monastery.
Okay.
Side of the mountain, whatever you want to call that.
Sure.
Loved Eddie going for the dagger.
Yeah, that was a good part. I like how he's has to hold the water, and I love his just reaction to everything, and when he sees, yeah, this is for real. This isn't just me walking around with this water. I'm...
Oh, looks like the floor's not here. Scared. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was... He was really funny in that part.
What disappointed me, though, he makes his way to the dagger, and they have that center walkway hanging on the ring.
Uh-huh.
And he's walking
like
on these...
Like a rope bridge.
And he's walking on these, like, wooden stumps that obviously are 1,000,000 feet tall because you don't see how far they go down.
Yeah.
But then the rope bridge burns and falls. Mm-hmm. He gets the dagger. How does he get back all the way across?
Mm-hmm.
They don't show that. They just show him come back out of the tunnel like, I did it.
At least he doesn't have to carry the water back.
Don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that makes a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah. I like when he's... I don't know why I wrote down... Oh, I know what it was. When she, like, makes this whole grand gesture before he gets to the point where he's getting the knife about, we would like the knife.
Yeah.
Please give us the knife. We request the knife. And then she's having to spin this thing on a stick. This, I don't know what that thing's called. But then he just, like, does a, what do you call that?
Like he's scratching a record?
Yeah. I want the knife.
He has to ask again. May I have the knife? Please.
Yeah, that was good.
All I'm saying is, the end of the world is at stake. Maybe not the best security system they have set up. True. Everyone was slaughtered in 2 seconds and
very
he's
sad.
Taken.
Yeah, not good.
So, did love when Brother Numsi, as Eddie calls him, the bad guy, comes to Eddie in that dream, and Eddie has a live studio audience in his dream.
Yeah, that was wild.
That was hilarious.
That was really wild.
And it has a laugh track, too. His dream has a laugh track.
Oh
my gosh.
As you know, laugh tracks are the worst. I hate laugh tracks.
But when it's in... I mean, it's being
parodied,
basically.
I know, but I'm just saying, in general, I hate laugh tracks.
I totally agree.
They mess up shows, like, because I'm not used to them anymore. Like, when I was used to every show having it, it didn't bother me as much. But now that I'm used to most shows not using it, and then when I see a show that uses it, I'm just like, ugh.
Well, it just sounds so fake.
Don't. You don't have to tell me when to laugh.
I'll
laugh
when
it's funny.
Yes, I'll know when to laugh. It'll hit me.
Yeah.
Eddie in this movie is the chosen one.
Mm.
Okay. Why wasn't the girl the chosen one? Because she was a badass.
Yeah, she should have been the chosen one for sure. She didn't wear the right clothes to fight.
she needed, wasn't prepared.
Yeah, she needed to like wear her jog suit or something. So, because she knows she's going to be encountering bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wondered that. I did really like the part where he goes through airport security.
Yes.
And he has to get the knife through, and he does this whole thing.
Sticks it in the guy in front of him's pocket.
Tackles the guy.
Tackles him, gets the daggers, like, I'm getting this relic back, you know, I work for this group that saves relics. And
Thanks, everyone.
Was it,
It was great.
Thanks, Nepal. Viva Nepal!
Yes.
Viva Nepal!
That's totally
I don't think they speak Spanish.
It was strange the way the couple fell in love that quickly.
Okay, so...
And he wants to marry her.
Eddie's talking to who they call the old man in the credits, who turns out to be the father of the girl he's into.
Of Key.
But they've only known each other like a short time. And he's like, how do I get her, someone like her? Like, I love her. I want to marry her.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you barely know her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that seems quick. And then she ends up telling him, like, you know, hey, he drives me crazy. And her dad's like, but he's very brave. And he's this. And she's like, yeah, I can't help but like him, too. And it's like, Man, y'all are moving quick. You haven't even kissed yet. Now you're ready to get married. You only known each other 2 weeks.
We're going to save the golden child together.
When you do things that are that stressful, maybe it pulls you together.
It was really ridiculous. After he gets the kid and they're escaping, like something goes down in the road where they have to stop the car. Yes. They get out and they do this whole scene at this like old silo, or I don't know what that was. And then they get in the car and just like turn it and go a different way.
They just go around the tree. Why didn't you just do that in the first place?
It seemed like it's a waste. Because it seemed like a long movie. Did it seem like a long movie to you?
It seemed like a long movie, but I still feel like the ending was kind of weak.
Rushed?
Yeah, like
It's 94 minutes.
But you've gone through
That's not that long.
No, but you spend basically 85 minutes or 80 minutes getting to the golden child, rescuing him, and then it's running away and the end comes. I don't know. It just felt like the end was rushed.
Yeah.
Also, obviously, at the end, you're not getting as much humor. That's where it starts to get dramatic and action-packed. So I don't get the humor from Eddie.
Right.
Because I was laughing in this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I laughed out loud multiple times. Not at the end, though. So, again, what did you think of Sardo Numspa? Did you find him scary at all?
Yeah.
Did he remind you of the circus master, the evil circus master from Something Wicked This Way Comes?
No, he did. He reminded me a lot. Are they related?
I don't think
so. They're going to tell me they're cousins.
That's his dad. No. But he played the bad guy well, though. I mean,
yeah, he did.
You know, he was subtle. He didn't, like, scream or raise his voice. You know, he's like, do you know who I am? You know, I could destroy you like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was very subtle and did a great job.
Yeah, I liked him, too.
But here's my issue. At the end, when he breaks out of human form into the winged demon, that's where I thought the special effects were awful. Because it looked like a Play-Doh monster from like Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, wow.
It's like, oh, here it goes. Really? Okay, I'm not scared of that. I'll punch that in the face. Play-Doh, come on. But I did love when he was flying. Like when he flew up and then dove into the ground. Like that was some cool stuff.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But again, it's a fantasy movie from 31 years ago.
Right. Yeah, I have to remember that. 31 years ago.
Yeah, and they were using technology that was basically being developed for Roger Rabbit.
Okay.
So, kind of got to give it a break.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I thought the hell scene was not awful. It was really the Play-Doh monster. The snake lady, when she's finally revealed, when Eddie rips the screen back, it was pretty rough.
Yeah, agreed. It was weird.
And she's half snake with a woman head. I mean, she's half dragon. Yeah. Sorry, I want to say half snake. Because I always thought of her as a snake woman.
Yeah,
you listen. And she freaked me out as a kid.
That right there scared you.
Oh, yeah, I even wrote that down in my notes. Like, that still kind of spooks me out a little bit. So, the golden child kind of spawns a bird that kind of Eddie follows around. Mm-hmm. And
the bird was very helpful.
Bird was awesome. And the bird was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Mind you of your bird, baby bird?
No. Oh. So that is called an Eastern Rosella, but it's only found in Southeast Australia and Tasmania.
Oh.
That is one of the most gorgeous, brightly colored birds I've ever seen.
It was really pretty. And super helpful.
I was about to say, it was very helpful, actually. And then the one thing I just got to mention, I'm sorry, I don't know why I think this is funny, but in the dream, with the studio and audience and everything. But you remember where the guy carves the dagger into Chandler's arm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll remember this. That set was the setting for the last few seasons of Webster.
It was?
Yeah.
How weird is
and
that?
And I loved Webster. And nothing looked familiar. I don't remember Webster all that much. But I just thought, Aww. Oh my God, Webster.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Lewis.
That's a neat fact.
Yeah, I thought that was crazy.
I like that one.
So, of course, Golden Child is saved.
Yep.
And
he probably got, like, Happy Meal or something because he was only eating those leaves.
Yes. By the way, she. Yes, I know it's a he in the movie, but that's still... Mm-hmm. That threw me off.
And then at the end, Eddie wants to go on Star Search and have the kid throw rocks at Ed McMahon.
No, Eve's gonna throw rocks at the kid, and the kid would redirect it at
Ed McMahon. Which, I'm sorry, he was annoying.
Especially, Ed McMahon?
Yeah, he didn't annoy you.
I didn't really watch Star Search that much, and I didn't really watch. My brother did, so I got stuck.
I loved Star Search. Anyone who remembers Star Search remembers how ridiculous it was. Remember they did the acting scenes?
I'm going to say the modeling I thought was stupid.
Or the spokes model.
Oh, God, that was so dumb. Yeah, I really enjoyed the comedy and some of the music. That's it. I love the comedians. They had some big-time comedians on there, too.
Yeah, and they had some big-time singers on there.
So before we get to our decisions, I want to run through parts that you thought were funny.
Okay.
What did you think was the funniest part when you saw this?
I was going to say I really enjoyed him going through security.
That was funny.
I really liked that part.
See, I liked him with the old man. The frozen booger. You gonna wipe that on your jacket? You gonna wipe that booger on your jacket? It's gonna freeze and scratch you.
So out of place, though.
The thing is, he's like this, you know, Tibetan monk who, you know, is so wise and just picks his nose, wipes it on his shirt. He's a con man on the streets of Kathmandu. He's also the father of Li Nang, like Keening. I still don't know what to make of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was hilarious, though. Oh, he was so funny. Yeah. Especially when he's trying to con Eddie on the streets. And mm-hmm. Eddie's like, you know, trying to say stuff in English, knowing the guy don't speak English. And then finally he's like, shut up, asswipe. That cracked me up because I didn't remember he spoke English. I didn't know.
So I didn't know that either.
Killed me.
Yeah.
The old man was hilarious. And his back and forth with Eddie was genius.
Yeah. Agreed.
But I did love the security. I mean, honestly, anything with Eddie in this movie, any of his scenes are just almost always got some funny line in it or something funny happening.
Yeah.
It's like Eddie can't help but be a comedic genius. No matter how hard he tries, it's going to be funny.
All right, you ready to...
I mean, you might as well.
Oh,
would you like me to go first?
Sure. I don't remember who went first last time. I can't remember.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
So, I was worried about this movie. Mm. I thought it was going to be more like Indiana Jones, which is not really my type. I'm not really into action movies. I like comedy a lot more. This was so funny. Still, I just remember being funny as a child. It's funnier now. I just feel like this is when Eddie Murphy was kind of in his prime. You know, he wasn't making Norbit or The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Mm-hmm.
This is when everything he did, I felt like, was just brilliant.
Right.
His stand-up was brilliant. His acting was brilliant. You know, back in SNL days, Eddie was hitting on all cylinders. And I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. And I really believe, probably in the next 2 to 3 years, I'll see this again with you. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. I have to rewind this movie. And I've already actually recommended it to someone at work. Just because it is funny. It is funny. If you like Eddie Murphy, you're going to absolutely love this movie.
Okay.
Boom. Rewind.
So, for me, this movie was all over the place.
Agreed.
It was confusing.
Agreed.
It had humor where humor didn't go. It had humor. And I enjoyed the humor. I just wish I could have had those scenes that I liked and nothing else.
just cut everything else out?
Just cut it and give me... I just don't know. I was on the fence about this one just because I try to give movies like some credit if I laugh. And then I thought, well, would I recommend this movie? But I'm not sure if I would. I might watch it again with you since you liked it so much. But I think for me, just because it was so weird and just out there.
Way more fantasy than I thought.
Yeah. That I just can't. I'm not going to give a rewind. I'm sorry. I can't.
Heartbroken.
Well, I'm heartbroken. It happens.
But you will say, it was funny.
There were some funny parts.
Some made funny no parts.
Sense. Made no sense. But it had some funny parts. But not enough for me to give it a rewind.
Wow. One rewind, one non-rewind.
Wah, wah.
So it's a one-man high five.
Oh, no. Again.
Also known as a clap.
Yep. So this has been another episode of You Can Rewind It with Alex and Brock. Check out our social media. On Twitter, You Can Rewind It. Facebook, You Can Rewind It. Instagram, You Can Rewind It. And our email, youcanrewindit@gmail.com.
And just remember,
just because you can rewind it doesn't mean you should.
Which Alexa thought she shouldn't rewind this one. Jerk. Thanks for listening.
Why was that guy picking his nose? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
How did that play a role in this movie?
Yes. Just for the joke?
Yes. I think it gave...
The guy has to be a nose picker just for the joke.
You can rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. 4, 3, 2...
Cue the bad music.